This is a totally different podcast episode than I usually do because here I'm showcasing the amazing people who will be at the Freelance Unlocked conference, the first conference for freelancers that made with love, and it'll take place in Berlin on May 15, 16, 2024. If you are a freelancer in Europe, it's an event made for you to learn, exchange experiences, and build your network of great freelancers and experts who move the freelance economy forward. So go to freelanceunlocked.com and grab your ticket right away. My name is Yuri, I'm a community builder at Code Control and 9am.works, and my guest is Mina Bastavros, a head of creative and digital marketing at Airbus with over 12 years of experience in the aviation industry, focusing on marketing, engineering, digital innovation, and entrepreneurship. So, hello Mina.
Hey Yuri, thanks for having me.
I wanted to ask you about your freelancing experience, but I saw on LinkedIn that you are mainly full-time working. So I'm curious, what is your take on the freelance economy and how will it develop in the near future?
So I've been using actually freelancing since 2017 in Airbus. And let me give you a little bit of background why, before I answer that question, why I find it incredibly powerful. Because in 2017, there was an initiative in the company called Dream Big, asking us to think of how we can disrupt the company from within, thinking about that bigger vision and changing disruptions, etc. And so we said to the committee of this initiative, why don't we make the aircraft of the future made by the people for the people, right? A bit more open. And they liked it and said, well, you know, go and figure it out and see how you can deploy that. So we spent some time in Silicon Valley with Stanford D School and with Google, DataStax, Red Hat, etc. These companies which are a bit more embracing open innovation compared to us. And then we came back to the business and presented a framework which showed how to enable it. And it really relied on freelancing for you to be able to do so. So what we try to do through that is try to do some testing of what can we do within the aerospace industry to enable for that kind of mindset and kind of work. And we were getting positive results out of positive results. And it was much more quick. It was much more cost effective. We still were, you know, compensating the external freelancers and the talents very fairly. We were not, they were dictating the pricing. They were the ones setting those figures. We were not trying to be cheeky or anything. And then we were seeing just results. We were seeing just positiveness. We were just seeing impact. So when I look back and say, where is this industry going to go? I think, and this is my personal opinion, but I personally see it that it's just here to become even more prominent. And especially after times of COVID, where we've seen a lot of individuals want to gain more autonomy in their lives. They want to get more freedom. They want to get more capability of traveling and working from anywhere, but also having access to a variety of projects. Not just always working, I'd say, for one specific industry. And I think that becomes very powerful, not only for the freelancers, because then they get to do everything they want to do, but it gets powerful for a company like ours, because your talent no longer just focuses on one industry. But your talent is leveraging telecommunications, it's leveraging aerospace, it's leveraging automotive, it's leveraging the food industry, right? And then they submit ideas and submit proposals that you might never, ever have thought of, because your talent is formatted in one specific type of segment. But this gives you a different perspective. And for me, that is just the incredible nature of this capability of this freelance network, this capability of this industry, which is booming. And I think it's here to stay, and it's here to be even more amplified through the capabilities of artificial intelligence, which do better matching in the future, so that you know the bits which are a bit laborious of who you need to work with, who you need to interact with, etc., are fine-tuned so that you're always getting the best possible solutions and outcome. So it's exciting times ahead.
And thank you very much for saying that, because that's exactly what freelancers are having, additional experience. Because when you are changing projects, like you're working for one thing for 3 months and then you're working for 6 months for another one, and you are juggling a few clients all together, and you definitely, you know, switching your mind and you taking some ideas from one point and bringing them to another. And that's exactly what, as you've said, that's exactly what helps you to have some ideas that you might have never had before. And I'm curious. So give me a sneak peek into what you'll be talking about on the Fluence Unlock stage.
So I want to be sharing a little bit of case studies, the success stories that I have personally seen in my previous role, but also within my role today. So today as head of creative marketing, I look after two different teams, digital and experience marketing. I've made sure that my team is geared up to work with freelancers as well. They're capable of using this kind of mindset. And I want to share, you know, the benefits of it, the capabilities, the case studies of how much more effective it is compared to traditional ways of thinking. I mean, for certain things, there's no way of not using the traditional sourcing. You have to. Mm-hmm. For other things, it's a very viable alternative. And I just want to show where those viable alternatives are and really showcase how talents outside our industry needs to be collaborating with a company like ours, what kind of things we'd be looking for, and how to make it successful overall. Because sometimes people see this as a very laborious process. For me, no, we shouldn't be forgetting the humanity behind it. And I think I just want to frame it around that to make sure that people understand that at the end of the day, it's about human interactions, leveraging human potential and collective intelligence to further ourselves as an organization and beyond.
I know that sometimes there are some restrictions for freelancers and big companies. Sometimes there are some legal restrictions, sometimes there are some other restrictions. So I wonder, how does Airbus approach working with freelancers?
So we do not engage directly with the freelancers. We work via existing platforms, okay? And the existing platforms have the benefit of catering for these frameworks that are necessary from a legal standpoint, from a compliance perspective, and so on. And I think that makes everybody's life better, to be honest, because the freelancers then are not left alone. Mm-hmm. If they were to work in a big, big company like Airbus, they get lost. They're still part of a community on a platform where they can exchange and collaborate and share ideas, share best practices, share, you know, how to thrive with this in this industry. And for us, it also says, you know, I'm not stuck with having to figure out how to manage this complicated process. And I think that makes it better for both sides. So leveraging the existing networks, and especially like if you think about it, there are 70 million freelancers or more outside. It just becomes 1% of the population of the world is unmanageable for us as a company. It becomes very overwhelming, right? So from a process point of view, having an entry point, which is one platform, let's say, mm-hmm. for coding, one platform for design, one platform for this, it becomes a lot less daunting, mm-hmm. and a lot easier for us to work with.
What platforms should freelancer check to become Airbus's freelancers?
Well, it's just check on all the biggest platforms. That's the short answer I can give you. We're playing with the key players, as I said, because they're well established and they make our lives a lot easier compared to going individually. And so we really, as a company, we want to make sure that it's fair, right? Your side. And if we were to get a smaller player that isn't really well established, and then you feel that you're getting caught up into administrative tasks and you get frustrated, that doesn't make us happy. We want to just make sure that at the end of the day, we know that this is your full-time or potentially side gig that you're doing. And we want to make it fair on you. We don't want to make it a hassle. We don't want to make it not human. So we say, okay, these platforms know what they're doing. They've been managing millions of people. They know how to make it fair for them. We just go and rely on those who know what they're doing.
So I had this question, what is the best way to become visible for companies like Airbus? But you already answered. So basically go to top platforms that working with freelancers, and then that's how if you are visible there, then you are visible for such companies.
And to be honest with you, I'll give you some examples. Just because you may think that you don't have the necessary skills for a specific project, it doesn't mean you should hold back.
Mm.
Because we had chances where we have selected the underdogs. We have chosen the ones that nobody would have you know, expected to be the winners. If you just look at their profile, you would have gone for the senior designer, many years of experience, many other. And sometimes you're like, actually, the solution that this individual has submitted is way better than what the senior person has submitted. They may not even have the background necessarily to come up with these solutions. But it's, and this is the beauty of this industry. You might be thinking, this is how I've done it in the agricultural industry, right? Maybe it can work for the aerospace. And just you trying may feel like, holy moly, like actually there is something there that we could be exploring. And we found ourselves in that situation where we've seen things that we would have never expected to go for, but they ended up being the solutions. And I don't know if you've ever spoken to Steve Radar, but Steve Radar can tell you all of these crazy stories from a violinist coming up with the solution to remove oil from potato chips, you know, the crisps.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was a violinist who thought, you know, if I meet the natural frequency, I'll be able to make it work. And it's like these kind of nuggets are what keeps me personally moving. And I get very excited about this. So my take to, or my biggest advice to the freelancers, just because you don't think you have the skills, it doesn't mean you should hold back. Because sometimes these nuggets are sometimes what we're looking for.
Wow, it's so great insight. Thank you very much for sharing that. Because, you know, I speak to many freelancers, and somewhere in my mind, there is this notion that as the better portfolio you have, the better project you've done, the better clients you've had in your portfolio, the more there is probability that you'll get chosen. But at the end of the day, and I'm curious, so you told that they propose solutions. So do you give them some kind of home task to understand if they're a good fit, like how it works? What is the selection process?
So we have two ways of leveraging this. Either you go for a crowdsourcing challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And you challenge the world, come up with a way to do this, right? And we don't know really what we're looking for, mm-hmm. okay? Or it's project-based. And a project-based, in either case, we're putting a brief and saying, in the brief, we're looking for this kind of product or delivery, et cetera. And we give some insight, and then we say, you know, blow our minds and sometimes show us something that we may have not thought of. And then, and the brief in itself allows them to look back and say, okay, this is what the company is looking for. And if it's nothing, it's not very clear, feel free to ask us the question. We will answer them. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you have the chat features and all of these platforms, you can reach out and we will answer. And we say, yeah, if not clear, that means this question probably is coming from many others, and we clarify. And yes, we do look at the portfolios. Yes, we do look at this, but at the end of the day, we look also at what you submitted, okay? And the portfolio becomes a way for us to validate that you're going to be able to complete that project, mm-hmm, right? Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you may have an amazing idea, but then if you cannot deliver it, you might have to team up with someone else to deliver it, which is okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's about how do we orchestrate this. So yes, we put the brief. Yes, we put specific expectations that we have. I mean, if you're going to be developing in one software that we don't have access to, we're stuck. Yeah, so we'll be telling you these kind of things that you can then feel empowered to hit the ground up and running.
So you talked a little bit about communication here and there, and I'm curious, from your perspective, what role do you think communication skill plays in for freelancers, especially when they're applying for projects for huge companies?
I think more than communication is transparency.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't try to oversell yourself, and don't try to undersell yourself. Be fair, right? Like, don't tell me you're going to make me a spacesuit, and then I find out you'd send me an origami, right? That's not what I asked for. That generates frustrations, and it's not fair on you. It's not fair on us, but it's not fair on the other freelancers that you took away a job from. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be putting something there, just be transparent what you can deliver. Say, look, I have just this idea and I think it's cool. Is this something that you're interested in? However, I'll be completely honest, I don't have CAD knowledge. And then we look back and say, what do we do? Do we then decide to team up you and someone else and then have a conjunction of a project? Or do we say, you know what, for this one, we're going to pass. But let us be in an empowered situation to be able to make that call. Because what you don't want is just that frustration later on, because we want to have a pleasant experience. You want to have a pleasant experience, and we want to make it fair on you. We want to make it fair on us, and we make it fair on everybody else.
You reminded me of Nirvana's song, Come As You Are.
Exactly. Love that song, by the way.
So you told a little bit about of background of freelancers, and sometimes that if you are not super experienced, sometimes it might be even better. But what background freelancer just must have, must definitely have to enter the aerospace industry?
They must be passionate about our industry.
Okay.
Skills, we're a big company. We do all sorts of work. Sometimes we ask for electronics. Sometimes we ask for logos. Sometimes we ask for renders. Sometimes we ask for aerodynamics. It's an aircraft. An aircraft is a complicated piece of machine that requires multifaceted skills. So whatever skills you may think are necessary out there, from AI to data to coding or to Excel to translating, it's most likely something we're going to have to look at. So I wouldn't limit it per skill, but I would say I'm looking for a mindset. I'm looking for passionate individuals who like, this is a cool piece of machine. I want to be part of that. Because then when you're translating your passion in your work, we can see the quality just step up. And that's sign of things we hope to see more and more.
How do you see this passion?
I think you see it through how people position themselves and the way they portray their solution, right? I remember we had an individual who had submitted something. Again, they would not have been the typical candidate we would have chosen, right? Because again, if you look at their portfolio, they didn't have as many hundreds of reviews as someone else. They had a few, but they were so eager, so passionate, and they were on the younger side, and they were like, I think I can do this. I really think I have the skills, and I think I know to. And this was just so infectious. We're like, okay, man, we need to give this person a shot. You know, this, they really are passionate about this, and they think they've got it. And honestly, it blew our minds. And wow. Because they were going the extra mile, they were going pushing boundaries to make their vision a reality. And they were not even at a certain point, even said, like, I don't care about the money, I don't want to get paid. I was like, no, you're gonna get paid, don't worry. They're like, I just want to see this happen on an aircraft, you know. And of course it's not something that we just off the shelf put on a plane, but it has to go through scrutiny and certification and adaptations internal by our engineers. But the fact that that's what they were interested in, it was cool, right? They wanted their work to fly. And yeah. I think that in itself is quite inspiring.
And I can also imagine how they feel when they see some piece of their art, something they were done when they're flying to, I don't know, to a vacation or somewhere, and then, oh, that's a piece of my work. It's amazing. It's really into this.
I had a freelancer who we used quite extensively because he was so good. I mean, kept going back to them. And they sent me a number of occasions photos and of their work in magazines that were not even printed by us, right? We had nothing to do with them. It's just that people went on the website, looked at Airbus content that they had done, and we ended up publishing on our website, etc. And they had just said, oh, it's on a magazine. It's my work. And it was just a complete random thing, right? The XLR is flying here and there, and it was their work. And a number of times I've seen other, you know, there were, because we put some backgrounds that people can download and put on the smartphones, etc. And he's like sending me videos of others that had their work on their phones. And I was like, it's so empowering to see my work just distributed even without you guys trying, and using the Airbus brand that goes just much, much further than you can expect. So that was cool.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Sounds just rocket flying. Plane flying. So you are going to be a speaker at the Freelance Unlocked conference. And what would you say to your friend if they asked you whether they should go to this conference?
I mean, I would say to them, if you're in a position of hesitation, if this industry has a backbone to succeed or not. Just come with an open mind. Like, just meet these talents, hear their success stories, hear the industries and the companies that have been using these incredible sources of knowledge, right? Leveraging your capabilities to, or enhancing your capabilities through these individuals, through these networks, through these platforms. Just come with an open mind and see what's possible. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. But come with an open mind and let your imagination really run wild when you seek some of these solutions. And as much as people are rushing through all these AI conferences and all this stuff, this is also a big trend that shouldn't be ignored. Because while AI is automating a lot of our interactions, I think the gig economy and the freelance network and the freelance economy is going to like effectively accelerate the way we do work, from the way we interact with our machines, but the way we have also our work done for us,
mm-hmm.
is just going to be completely different. And I think the AI network, the freelance network in conjunction, is just gonna skyrocket one day. So it's a matter of time.
Adding a little bit to your point, what I hear and see from freelancers here and there is that, you know, they're always on the edge. They're always trying to find the ways of how to improve their work or how to make it faster or how to make it better. And I feel like freelancers exactly are those people who are extensively using AI technologies and trying to incorporate them as much as possible into their work. But I also feel when they're joining companies, they share this knowledge with people around them, with teams that they are working in. So I feel like it's like, you know, they're bringing this fresh blood into collectives.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And as it goes back to the point we said earlier, when you have this diversity of thinking, this diversity of doing things, it makes you think of things that you weren't aware of, right? And I think that's what the beauty of this industry does. So for those who are interested in attending or thinking of attending, my recommendation is come with an open mind and just let your imagination run wild.
You know, you're so inspiring person. I don't know how you do this, but it's really amazing to hear, you know, from person from such a huge company, how they love to work with freelancers and like what it means. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and amazing experience of working with freelancers and even before the conference. And I can't wait to learn even more from you on the Freelance Unlocked.
Thank you for your kindness. I mean, you're way too kind. Your words are too humbling. I cannot take credit for the freelancing work. The work has been done by others, not by me. I'm just here to, you know, look at this incredible work and deploy it in my day-to-day job. So the thank you should be going to these incredible talents out there. We should be inspired by them because they're the ones who are coming up with the crazy innovative ideas, and me too. I'm very excited to see, you know, what kind of things come out of this network and these incredible talents going forward. So thanks for having me, first of all, and thanks for your time, Yuri.
Thank you very much. And for those who listen to this episode, I hope you learn from Mina's experience and say thank you to him after his talk at the Freelance Unlocked conference on May 15th, 16th in Berlin. So go to freelanceunlocked.com, grab your ticket and meet you there.